Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. I still live in the sticks where you wouldn't go. In a town of 1200 off an old dirt road. And a country boy is all I'll ever be.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mountain Man Dan Show. We're here with Nick Sims tonight. Nick, what's going on?
Oh, not much, man. Just living the dream.
Right on, right on. Yeah, it's sitting up here in Alaska, time of year, Mother Nature can't make up her mind. You know, one day it'll be 30 above, and then today we're back down to 5 below zero, so.
Yeah, it's a nice, rainy 63 degrees right now. It was in the 30s and snowing 3 days ago. Typical Tennessee weather.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just having our usual, you know. This has been a cold winter up here. This has been about the coldest winter I think I've ever experienced myself. Not that it doesn't get cold up here. Everybody knows it gets cold in Alaska, but it's never been that. I've never experienced a winter where it's been the 40 below for 3 months straight. Normally, we'll get a couple of warm snaps in between somewhere. So, been a rough winter.
So, what's new with firearms with you?
Well, let's see. What did I play with all week this week? I've been mostly playing around with some hand loading. Yeah, playing with a couple different 44 mag loads.
Nice. Hopefully my new gun will be in tomorrow or Tuesday. I'm looking forward to that very much.
Yeah. Yeah, what did you end up getting this time?
I got a Ruger Blackhawk convertible 45, and this is going to sound really weird, but I literally bought it with the intention of taking the 45 Colt cylinder and putting it in the box and rarely ever using it. It's going to be used as a 45 ACP probably 95% of the time.
Yeah, you know, my dad has my old Ruger Blackhawk. A seven and a half inch model with the convertible. And yeah, about the only time the 45 Colt cylinder is ever in that gun is when he's out hunting or out in the field. The rest of the time, it's all 45 ACP.
Well, lately I've kind of gotten curious. For years, you know, every year I go to different schools and take different handgun classes and stuff. And I typically always did it with, you know, the gun I carried the most for the longest time. I carried a Glock 17 forever, just absolutely forever. And I started shooting some revolvers in class, my Model 15 and 629 and all that. But I really want to take some really gritty, hardcore, tactical, in and out of vehicle, you know, all the practical application of tactics type classes with a single action. The only issue at single actions I've ever had with them, though, for that kind of a use is 45 Colt ammo, if you don't load it, is really expensive. 45 autos, half the price. And reloading is really slow, but with a 45 ACP cylinder and you have that big long ejector rod, it'll pretty much push the shell casing past the hammer. It's going to eject every time. Typically, you don't get sticky cases because it's not very high pressure. And you can load the gun with 1911 magazines. You take an old wore out 1911 magazine or Glock 21 magazine or whatever. It can even be a pro mag. It's not like it has to be reliable. It just holds bullets, and you cut a couple coils off the spring to lighten it up some. And you can, you know, load from magazines and actually keep quite a lot of rounds on you. So, you know, a couple people have already asked me why I didn't get the 357 millimeter convertible, and I do have a reason for that. If I'm limited to six rounds and a slow reload, I would rather have a 45 230 grain plus P Spear Gold Dot than, you know, a 125 grain plus P 9 millimeter, and as well as the 40, and I got a 4.62 inch barrel. The 45s are actually a little lighter to carry because, you know, the 9mm 357, it's got less, you know, bored out of. It's got more metal in the barrel and cylinder, so it's actually a heavier gun. So I think the 45 overall is a very optimal gun to choose if you're wanting to use it in that capacity.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned reloading with the out of a magazine, and 1911 magazines actually work the best for that versus like a Glockers magazine or something, because they're actually narrow enough to be able to just kind of put it right up there. Yeah, you can put it right up to the loading gate and just, you know, push the cartridge out with your thumb.
What do you think of this? You know, all the old school GI military big stick mags for the automatic 1911s, the full auto one?
Yeah, like 33 round, I think.
Yeah, or something like that. Well, how long are those? You think those are viable to carry on a belt, or should I like just stick with some cheap BS Pro Mag 1911 15 round extended magazine?
I would just use this. I'd probably just stick to standard. I personally would probably just stick to like a standard 7 round. It gives you a little bit of leeway there if you drop a round or something, and then just, you know, magazine per reloader, you can just put 6 rounds in it, so the spring's not quite as tight up. But yeah, any of those extended anything that's an extended mag on a single stack is going to be pretty long.
You know, I could even carry like 2 or 3 officer magazines.
Yeah, you could.
Those would fit in the pocket nicely.
You know, if you want to, if you really want to get technical, you could do a speed reload with that red with the Black Hawk convertibles too, and just drop the cylinder like the old Navy revolvers. Just pull the pin, drop the cylinder, drop the other cylinder in, and go.
Yeah, I have my own a couple classes that I'd like to take with the gun. I'm wanting a class that I get to shoot in and out of a vehicle and actually shoot in and around, like a real like tactics based class. And I want it to be a minimum of 500 rounds. I really want to, my goal this summer is to put 5,000 rounds through that gun. And you know, I think, it would probably take it in stride, being the actual heavy frame Blackhawk. You know, it's got the ears around the rear sight and everything. I would figure that 45 auto is not going to strain it at all. Probably hardly any more than dry firing it.
Yeah, I've had two or three of the Ruger 45 convertibles, and even shooting 45 Colts, I've never even come close to wearing one out. Those are a tough gun. Gunsight actually offers a specific single action revolver class.
I've seen that. I don't think I can afford it.
I'm
a mechanic, not a doctor.
I'd really like to go to Gunsight one of these days. I will go one of these days. I'm not sure when, but I will go one of these days. They're actually hosting a class up here in Alaska this summer, and I'm hoping to go to that one. If I would have already put the deposit down on it if I was working right now, but since I'm not working, I'm just trying to make sure I don't spend any more money than I need to until I know when I'm going back to work. But I would like to go to Gunsight one of these days for one of their classes. But they do offer, that was just more for our listeners, they do offer a specific single action class that they do on a
single action defense or something like that.
Yeah, and they offer it on a fairly regular basis too.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of brought that. And you know, it's funny, a lot of people don't even think of single actions when they think of a gun for self-defense, and admittedly it's not what I would consider as optimal as say a double action revolver or a high capacity semi-auto, but I don't think they leave you as short sticked as you would think.
I'd feel way better with a single action revolver than that 51 Navy you carry.
I don't carry that gun much. I've carried it like twice. And it's typically only on my property. I don't take that thing out in public very often. If I do, it's because I've taken it to the range and I'm wearing it at the range. But no, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was a 38 special cartridge conversion. But cap and ball is, the reliability is kind of not all there all the time. And, you know, the old guns probably were really reliable. But, you know, a lot of the Italian copies, they're not built the same. You know, the nipples on them aren't quite as tightly fit as they could be, and you don't always get reliable ignition. You know, it's not what I would necessarily recommend. But, you know, if you look by the statistics, you know, everybody will always quote statistics on me, so I guess I'll use their, you know, give them a taste of their own medicine on that. They always say that most civilian shootings end in 2 to 3 rounds. Well, hell, the gun holds 6 rounds. And it's a full-size, full-length barrel 45 loaded with plus P ammunition, good quality hollow points. Hell, you could even load it with 45 super. I'm pretty sure as long as you do your part and put them where they need to go, 2 to 3 rounds will probably take care of just about any situation that you're going to get into.
I've told you the story, so I believe I've told the story on the show here, actually, with that same rifle I mentioned, or pistol I mentioned earlier, the 7.5-inch Ruger Blackhawk convertible, of watching my dad shoot a caribou lengthwise, you know, with a 300-grain 45 Colt going 1,000 foot per second and shooting clean through it. You know, for general self-defense, you know, I don't see why, you know, a standard 45 Colt or 45A, you know, if you're shooting factory ammo, 45 Colt and 45 ACP are both fairly close to each other, you know, a 230, 250 grain bullet running, you know, 850 foot per second or so.
Yeah, you probably got more options on hollow points though with the ACP, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you probably do. There's a few good 45 Colt. I think Federal makes the Hydra Shock. Actually, right. 45 Colt self-defense ammo is actually fairly easy to find because there's so many, like the Taurus Judge and the Smith & Wesson Governor and whatever else now that are 45 Colt 410. There are actually quite a few reasonable self-defense choices that are marketed as a self-defense round.
More than my 45 favorite Colt. One is actually made by Federal. When I carried a new service 5-inch 45 Colt, it was actually my duty gun for a while. I was able to carry whatever I wanted, and I had a 5-inch new service. And the load I carried in it, I think it was just it wasn't called anything special. It's not like High Shock or Hydro Shock. It was just a Federal 225 grain lead semi wad cutter hollow point 45 Colt. And I liked the load because it was really accurate. It shot to the sights. I want to say it was like 850 feet a second. It always expanded. It always penetrated 15 to 16 inches. The recoil was very light. To me, it felt like I had two new services. I also had a 1917 and 45 auto. And to me, that load recoiled like about like a 185 match wad cutter in my 1917. It was just a really good load. So if I was to carry 45 Colts, that'd probably be the load I'd carry.
Yeah, you know, if I was to carry a 45 Colt, I would probably carry something very similar to what I carry right now. My favorite factory, and I think you can get it. Let's see here. Let me look it up real quick. Anyway, what I've been carrying as far as factory ammo in my 44 mag is that Barnes 225 or that 200 at the 225 grain XPB.
That's a great bullet.
Yeah, that solid copper. And yes, Barnes does offer that 200 grain XPB 45 Colt. $26 a box of 20 here on Midway. Let's see if they show any ballistics here.
That style of bullet would be spectacular in a 44 special or a 41 magnum for street work.
Yeah, because they open up really well, and I believe if you want to go a little hotter with that same bullet, I believe Buffalo Bore offers that in their yes, right here they offer the 225 grain Barnes XPB hollow point at 1500 foot per second.
Woo, that's smoking. And what cartridge is that?
That's the 45 Colt, 225 grain. That's actually way hotter than the Barnes factory 44 mags, only running like 1,200 or so out of my gun. So you can get that Buffalo Bore. It's a bit more expensive, but yeah, you can get that Buffalo Bore
bullet.
Yeah,
well, I tell you, for the viewers that are on my side of the country, like Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, the Carolinas, all that, if you're into black bear hunting, that load in a, you know, a good quality 45 that can handle that kind of a load, like a Blackhawk or a Red Hawk or, you know, what have you, Freedom Arms, BFR, whatever, that would be a great black bear load for bear hunting. That would hit really hard.
Yeah, I've been shooting the factory Barnes load with that 225 grain, my 44 mag, and they don't. The Barnes ammo was not loaded that hot. Like I said, I think, as a matter of fact, I was doing some chronograph work. I just shot some of those across the chronograph earlier today. If I can find my chronograph notes here. But I believe they were running like 1220, like between 1220 and 1230 foot per second from my 2.5 inch 44 mag. So I'm sure Buffalo bore 1500 probably out of a 4 or 5 inch gun, but it's still smoking. Let's see here. I'm going to the actual Buffalo bore site. 45 Colt plus P. If we're talking about Ruger, we have no problem shooting plus P. Let's see, there's their outdoorsman load.
Which is also a really good load.
If you can afford it. Here's the thing that bugs me about Buffalo bores. They're the ammo with that XPB 225 grain and a standard lead gas check bullet are like exactly the same price. There is yeah, here we go. Here's the Barnes. This is from their website. Barnes 225 grain XPB 45 Colt plus P. Let's see here. 1533 foot per second from a Freedom Arms Model 97 with a 5 1/4 inch barrel. 1505 foot per second from a Ruger pre 2005 large frame Vaquero with a 5 1/2 inch barrel. And 1855 foot per second from a Marlin 1894 Cowboy with a 20 inch barrel.
Man, that's screaming. That's like 454 Casull speeds.
So they're saying 1500 foot per second from the 45 Colt.
What would the muzzle energy be on something like that?
I'd have to look at that again. It's up there. Let's see. Heavy 44 mag. Let's see if they offer that XPF Buffalo Bore. I think they do offer an XPB load and a 44 mag as well. 205. Apparently they do not. But anyway, yeah, if you're looking for some good, I mean, there's actually a lot of really good options out there. I actually just shot up my last box. I bought a bunch of that XPB 44 mag ammo a while back on sale and really liked it. And I shot the last of it today, which was a bit of a disappointment to me because it's no longer on sale and it's like $26 a box and I'm not paying more than a buck around for the cart for the ammo. And I think it's more of, I think it's like $31 a box locally. Anyway, I'm not paying that for loaded ammo. And then I was going to try to duplicate that load and that bullet is right around a buck a piece just to buy the projectiles by themselves. And they only come in boxes of 20.
Wow,
so, yeah, so I actually started working up some load today with the 210 grain Spear Gold Dot for my 44 mag carry load.
That'd be nice. That's a good bullet. Really accurate bullet.
Yeah, I like the Spear Gold Dot. You know, when I was carrying the 44 mag, what I'll do a lot of times, I do this in several, and just about all my double actions I carry when I'm carrying them in a, where I might run into a social situation. My first two rounds are a medium 44 mag load, like the Spear 210 grain Spear Gold, but I'm going to load it to about 1200 foot per second, maybe 1250. Ooh. So in the tracker, I'll put the first two, and even in the Smith & Wesson, I'll put the first two as an anti-personnel round like that. And then the next four or three, depending on what gun I'm having, will be, depending on where I'm at, either a mild plinking load or a heavy bear load. And one of the things I like about that is like if I'm just bumming around here in the yard, I mark the primers with, believe it or not, I mark it with fingernail polish. So that way I can swing the gun open and I can easily see which rounds are what. And then depending on what I'm going to be doing, if I'm going to shoot a rabbit or I'm going to, you know, I want to shoot that stump way out there and I want one of my heavy loads, I can just spin the cylinder to the rounds I want. I'm gonna lock it back up and shoot without shooting my expensive self-defense rounds.
I think you're on to something. That's actually pretty damn brilliant. That's neat. I never thought about that. That's a good idea. That's smart.
Now, with the double lock, that way the first two rounds are always especially if I'm out, you know, going into town or something. If I'm going into town, the first two rounds are always going to be a self-defense load. I mean, the next three or four will be a heavy load, because that gives me the first three shots are going to be quicker, because it's not going to be as much recoil. Let's say I got the bear loads in there. The first three shots are going to be low recoil. The first one's going to be self-defense round. The second one's going to be a self-defense round. I mean, I'm still dealing with the low recoil when I shoot the third one, which is a heavy bear round, if I end up needing the third shot or more, and then I'm dealing with some serious horsepower.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Or if I'm just around my yard or around town and I'm not really too worried about it, I'll put the first two will be self-defense loads. I mean, the next three or four will be a medium load, like maybe a 240 grain at 1,000 foot per second, 1,100 foot per second. Man, if I see a squirrel or a rabbit or a grouse or just a stump I want to shoot, I can just spin over to the other cartridge and not have to waste my good ammo.
Right. You know, I actually had something I was wanting to discuss, and we don't have to go into that much length on it, but I've talked to two different people this week, and we talk revolvers. One of them was, you know, about Tauruses. Another guy I talked to about Rugers. I think we should take a little while, because no one else has really done it. I don't think we'll talk about Colts, because, well, their double actions are – I wouldn't say they're as they're just not as popular as the big three when I think of the
big
three.
I don't have Colt just because I don't have a whole lot of experience with them. Their revolvers are usually at a price point where I'm not comfortable spending that much money just for a plinking gun. You know, when I can get a Smith & Wesson or a Ruger for less money, I'm going to go with the Smith & Wesson or Ruger because I know them.
Right. So I wanted to discuss Taurus versus Smith & Wesson versus Ruger in a few aspects: quality, durability, longevity, and value. So, starting with Taurus, what is your general consensus and opinion?
Well, if you would have bumped me this question a little more time to kind of prepare for it, I would have come up with a 1 to 10 rating system on each one of those aspects you mentioned.
Well, we can do that and put it on the page, but I just kind of want to take you off guard and just see what your initial impression is.
My initial impression on Taurus, the first one I ever got was a Model 85. And it impressed the hell out of me. It has been the first time I shot a group with that gun, I pulled it out of the box. I got it as some booty on a trade. You know, I was like, I want you to throw that brand new Taurus in, but I don't think, and I was just like, okay, whatever. And I picked it up in a trade, and I was like, I'll go ahead and take it out back and shoot it. And the first group I shot with it at, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 yards was 5 rounds touching. And I was like, okay, maybe this gun's not so bad. And then I started shooting it, and my wife started shooting it. And 4 or 5 years later, that gun still sits in her nightstand, and it's got countless rounds through it, and it has been a fantastic pistol. And then the second one I got was a used model. I think it was like a 822 or something like that. It was an 8-shot or a 9-shot. Maybe it was a 922. But it was a J-frame, or I think it was a J-frame size 8-shot or 9-shot 22, and it was a pile of junk. But it was used when I got it, and it was fairly worn out. I wasn't very impressed with that one. Then I kind of, hemmed and hawed about the revolvers. I've had a couple of their cheaper semi-auto pistols, and they work. And then I got this Tracker, and I've been pretty happy with it. So here's my general overview of Taurus. They work 90% of the time for the money. They're gonna have bad ones. You hear a lot about the bad Tauruses. I think Taurus puts out a lot more guns just because of the price range than Smith & Wesson or Ruger or Colt, so we hear a lot more about the bad ones. But we don't hear about the ones that people were happy with. You know, a lot of people, they buy it, it works exactly like they intended it to, and most people don't shoot them that much, and then they're fine. But they do start to loosen up. You know, my tracker is, you know, it's a few thousand rounds into, and you know, I can notice a couple little, like I had to replace a firing pin rebound spring on it the other day because it finally had a failure, and just little things like that. So if you're going to shoot them a lot, just keep an eye on things. It's not that they won't hold up to it if you treat them nicely, but just keep an eye on things and keep in mind that if you're going to have to change any parts, you're going to end up changing them yourself or having a local gunsmith do it, because the tourist customer service is horrible. I've heard rumors that they're going to try to fix that once their new factory in Georgia is put up and running, but in the meantime, yeah, it's like 6 weeks before you'll even hear anything from them if you have to send a gun back to them.
And you know, my personal experience, I've had quite a few. I've had three Model 85s. The Model 85s were actually okay, and I had an 856 that I managed to stretch the frame on, but it took 1,200 rounds of plus PMO, and it was an aluminum frame gun. It stretched it so bad that it got to where the cylinder hand actually wouldn't even carry the cylinder up. But the three steel 85s I had were okay. I had an 82 a long time ago that seemed okay. It was just really loose. And then I had a recently, that 65 357. I managed to shoot it at a time within 400 rounds of off the shelf 158 grain 357 Magnum. That gun was a pile of garbage. I had a Model 66 4-inch ported 7-shot. That gun was a pile of garbage. Brand new, it locked up. You know, the cylinder wasn't cut true on it. The forcing cone looked like it had been shaped and filed with gravel glued to a piece of paper.
We need to have a small disclaimer here, real quick. For those who are new to the show or those who don't know Nick very well, Nick has the worst luck with guns out of anybody I've ever known. This guy could get a brand new Freedom Arms and break it within a box of ammo, I swear to God.
Oh yeah, when I start shooting them, the parts start going blind. Yeah, there are a few guns I haven't managed to break, and Taurus is definitely not one of them. But I've had one of their 1911s within 500 rounds. It sheared an extractor. I think that their designs are really interesting. Too bad they dick us over and get rid of all the good stuff. Like with the Taurus Tracker, they used to make a 5-shot 45 ACP Moonclip revolver that wasn't ported, and it was like wonderful. And it's like, yeah, that's great. And instead, they give us, you know, all this other stuff no one wants. But, you know, kind of my opinion of it is I know people buy them because they're at a price point, but they're not at that much of a price point. Like, literally, if you're just wanting a 38, you can buy a police trade-in Smith & Wesson Model 10 for the price of, you know, a 82 or a 65. And, you know, as far as the 44 Magnums go, you know, I'm not really so stuck on double action. You know, a revolver is a revolver to me. So before I would pay, you know, $480 to $500 for, say, a Taurus Model 44 or a Tracker 44 Magnum, which those are usually like $420-ish around my part of town, I would spend the Tracker's up here and get a Blackhawk. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to tear it up. But that's just me. But
the Tracker's up here run around, I think. Let me see here. I think they're around $600.
Oof. No way in hell I'd ever pay that for one.
Yeah, they're anything that says big board on it around here is gonna be pretty expensive. I will say one gun that Taurus has come out with recently that I think it's kind of interesting is that model 692, that convertible 9mm 357.
Yeah, that one actually is kind of neat. I like how it looks at the very least.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an interesting concept with it, just a push button to trade out the, swap out the cylinder. You can shoot 9mm in it for, cheap practice. And actually, out of a revolver, 9mm is not, it's fairly potent, compared to like a 38 special or something like that. Yeah, right here in Fairbanks, I can get the trackers for their 470
That's not
for the
terrible.
4-inch. Yeah, for the
So,
4-inch. I think my 2.5-inch was listed at like 540 or 560, but I did not pay that much for it.
in a nutshell, I think that they make interesting designs that are poorly executed. I think the quality control sucks, the customer service sucks, and the metallurgy is inferior to a Smith and Wesson or a Ruger or even a Colt. Honestly, for me, if I just want to shoot a big bullet, I would buy a $400 Italian Colt clone single action Army and 45 Colt or 44 Special before I'd go big bore Taurus, because the metallurgy is what bothers me. Like when I shot that 65 at a time and 400 rounds, it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, because 400 rounds of 357s is not a lot. And I harp on this a lot. These are guns that people are gonna like put their lives are depending on them. They are carrying them for self-protection, and to me, it is unacceptable when a gun is not built to professional standards. And professional standards is a gun that you can take out and run 1,000 rounds through it in class and shoot, 200-300 rounds a week out of it. You should be able to shoot it a lot. Shooting it a lot is how you get familiar with it. But enough of that. Moving right before I get all
Yeah.
bitter. Moving
No,
right along to you, Smith and Wesson.
I like the Taurus revolvers, but I have apparently had really good luck with the ones I've had. I've only had both Taurus semi-autos and the revolvers. I've only had one that I wasn't happy with, and it was that little 922 that well worn. It was worn out when I got it,
Now, in finishing, I will say I have a G3. It's great. Love it. Over 1,000 rounds, not a problem. The PT92 series is a really good gun. I actually like the frame-mounted safety lever over the slide-mounted on the Beretta. The PT92 is a solid gun. If you want a good double-action, single-action 9mm and you don't want to spend SIG or Beretta money, a PT92 is a great way to go. The G3 is also a great pistol. The G2 apparently is pretty good. If it's as good as the G3, I'm sure it's fine. But when it comes to revolvers, I guess I just like a little more refinement. But
Yeah.
so Smith and Wessons, what's your take on Smith and Wessons?
The first word that comes to my mind when I hear Smith and Wesson is delicate. And that's not to say that they're not good guns, because they are. They're very good guns, but they're not going to hold up like a single action or a Ruger double action would to the constant heavy, 300 grain. Like my 144 mag load is a 300 grain at, 1350 foot per second, and I have shot those through my Red Hawk and shot those through my Red Hawk and shot those through my Red Hawk, and no problems. And the Smith and Wesson just isn't going to hold up to that kind of use. I on my I with my model 29, I shoot it all the time. It is my favorite revolver. But when I'm doing load testing, or if I'm know I'm going to be going out and I'm going to be shooting heavy loads, I grab the Red Hawk.
What do you think of the fit and finish and quality on a Smith and Wesson?
I think it's gone downhill in the last years. I've seen some new Smith and Wessons that I wasn't, for the price of them, because they are, they're right up there in price for what the fit and finish on some of the newer ones is, and not as good as what you'd expect. Like, I've got some older ones that you can barely tell. The older ones are great. I've got some older ones you can barely tell where the side plate comes and meets with the frame, unless, really get in there and look for it. And the newer ones aren't quite as good, but you know, that's just modern machining. Any gun is that way now. They're just built, you know, they're all CNC machines, so they can snap together and interchange parts and stuff. So none of the new guns are as refined as the old ones were, in my opinion.
You know, I kind of feel the same way. I think the new guns are stronger. I do think that they are built better than the old ones when it comes to that, but I don't think that they are as nice as the old ones. I mean, like, you know,
Yeah,
if
I'm.
you get on our page, you saw the comparison I did, but that 19.5 versus the new 66. I mean, the 66 undoubtedly is a stronger gun, but the 19 is much nicer.
Dang, I had a thought in my head and it just whoop, right out the other ear. What was I gonna say? Oh, with the Smith and Wessons, I have to be fair here and mention that I have never owned a Smith and Wesson that is new enough to have the Hillary hole on it. All the Smith and Wessons I've had or have owned or currently own are older guns, you know, 90s or so or older. So I don't really have that much experience with the new ones other than, you know, handling them in the store and shooting ones that belong to friends.
Yeah, I mean, I've had several new ones, and I've had a lot of old ones. I've had well over 20 old ones, and man, they're really hard to beat. I am a Smith man, but you know, the older I get, the more I'm actually interested in single actions. That's kind of where my gravitational pull has gone. I don't know why, but I do really like them, but you know.
I like anything that's got a big hole on the end of it. If it's 40 caliber or bigger, it has my interest. If it's 44, you know, if
Yeah,
it's 45,
same here.
you know, but yeah, you know, 44s, 45s, I shoot a bunch of 44, and you think, oh, the bigger is better. I'd like the 45 Colt better, and I do, but I do like double action guns, and it's 44 mag double action. You're just so much easier to find than 45 Colts.
Right.
So
Right.
yeah, but yeah, I like Smith and Wesson revolvers, you know, for a range gun, you know, and even just a general hunting gun, they are a good gun. But you know, I am, you know, anybody who knows me knows that I hot rod my handles. I push my guns to the outer limits and I shoot the heaviest bullets I can find all of the time. Doesn't matter what it is, I shoot the heaviest bullets running as hot as I can. And the Smith and Wesson's just, I take it a little easier on the Smiths than I would with a Ruger of equivalent, you know, equivalent sized.
What I would say is Smith and Wessons aren't as strong as Rugers, but they are very refined, and you can refine them even further with, you know, on the gunsmith bench. I mean, you can really make a beautiful trigger with a Smith and Wesson, and nothing matches the trigger reset on a Smith and Wesson. It's a really good design, and it lends itself well to being smoothed out and, you know, worked. I mean, you can really make a old Smith really sweet with very minimal effort, as if they're not already sweet, but you know.
I've like that, but I've always kind of been a Ruger guy. You know, if you've ever owned a Red Hawk and taken it apart, you know, a factory Red Hawk, you take the grips, not the Super Red Hawk, the standard Red Hawk. You take the grips off, and then it's got the little wheel in there to hold the grip centered, and just the way the gun is designed, where the parts work as extra takedown tools. Now you can only thing you need to take a Ruger Red Hawk down to the frame. And a screwdriver to take the grips off. After that, everything is inside of the grip frame to take that gun the rest of the way down. You can use parts as tools. Like once you pop the mainspring housing out, you can use that to, you know, or no, I'm sorry, not the housing, but yeah, you pop the mainspring out and you can use that. And the whole thing comes down. So, you know, in my opinion, it's a brilliant design how the Red Hawks come apart. And the Red Hawks are a ton tougher than the Model 29s. You know, like another thing about my Model 29 that it's an older one, but the cylinder notches are right over top of the chamber. We're already talking about a smaller chamber, it's cylinder notch right over the top of the chamber, and the Red Hawk isn't like that. The Red Hawk is offset, and those chamber walls are twice as thick as the Red Hawk are already. I'm sorry, as the Model 29 is.
Oh, absolutely.
So I know I'm a Ruger guy. I will admit that Model 29 has become my favorite. I love the way it handles. I love the way it balances. The trigger on that thing, I still haven't found even a single action trigger that is as nice as the single action on that Model 29. But the double action is better and is smoother on my Red Hawk.
Yeah, I can see that. The Ruger double action mechanism is a lot more friction free.
Yeah,
sure.
the Ruger has a smoother and lighter double action than the Model 29 does. But the Model 29 single action blows everything I own out of the water except for my 1911. My 1911s all have pretty good triggers.
Yeah, so moving on to Ruger, well, obviously the Red Hawks are good, but I kind of think with Ruger's I like the Red Hawks. I like the for I know they're ugly as sin, but Super Red Hawk's a fine hunting gun. And I like all their rimfires, the single six series, the Bearcats. I mean, literally, they don't make a revolver I don't like. The GP100's nice. But, you know, for me, when I think Ruger revolver, I think Blackhawk and Super Blackhawk. And I like the Vaqueros too, but the Blackhawks are like, to me, they're the original hot rod single action. They were, you know, the first to the market with, you know, other than Colt for a flat top, adjustable sight, big bore, heavy duty six gun. And it's just a lot of history, you know, it's they're really, really sweet, especially for the money. They're still very affordable.
Here's my opinion. When it comes to single action, there is only one king, and that is Ruger. Yes, there are nicer and finer guns than the Rugers. You can buy, Freedom Arms. The BFRs are really nice guns. The Colts are really nice guns. But that Ruger is just as tough, in my opinion, it is just as tough as a Freedom Arms or a BFR. It is tougher than the Colt. It is a better design than the SAA Colt. I'm sorry, it is.
I'm a Colt single action man. It's my favorite gun, but the Ruger is 100 times more durable than the Colt.
I think it's a better design. You know, I'm not a fan of hammer mounted firing pins. I personally, and this is a personal opinion, I like the transfer bar safeties on the newer Rugers. I believe it's a good safety precaution. It doesn't really affect the workability of the gun. You know, like a Smith & Wesson, they put that stupid Hillary hole on there, and the transfer bar does not really affect the way that the Ruger operates. I like the transfer bars. You know, if you're trying to practice quick draw and your hammer, you know, your thumb slips off the hammer, or you're just shooting at the range and your thumb slips off the hammer, or you're walking through the brush and you don't have your hammer strap on it and the hammer starts to catch on the brush, it's going to keep that gun from going off.
Not only that, but that transfer bar has increased your capacity in the gun by 20% because now you can carry six rounds instead of five.
Yeah, I mean, I like the frame mounted firing pin is just it's a better design. In my opinion, Ruger is king of the hill when it comes to the single actions. The Freedom Arms are really nice. The old ones were so tight that you couldn't use them. The you know, up here in Alaska, we live on in the glacier silt, and you take a Freedom Arms out for a day, and the thing would bind up, and you didn't have to shoot it. You would just get that silt blowing everywhere all the time. That glacier silt would get into those into the Freedom Arms, and they would not. They would just flat out stop working. The BFRs are really nice revolvers. Their custom shop revolvers are super nice. You know, Jeff Quinn likes to show off that Elmer Keith number 5 from the BFR custom shop, and they are nice, but they are dang near as expensive as a Freedom Arms. The baseline BFRs are, I'm not going to say they're any nicer than the Rugers. They're just as nice as the Rugers, but I don't think they're any nicer, and they're a couple hundred bucks more. So yeah, I think Ruger is king of the hill when it comes to single actions.
Yeah, I paid $636.14 out the door for my 45 convertible, and man, you can spend more money than that, and you're not going to get a better revolver than that for the money. I mean,
and
for its capability, you know.
And Ruger has good customer service. You know, I've had to send a couple of guns back to him. You know, those things happen. But it's like, you know, I broke this firing pin spring the other day on my Taurus, and I had to just go dig through my box and find a different spring for it. Where if that would have happened on a Ruger, like my Red Hawk or anything, I would have called Ruger. They would have said, oh, I'm so sorry about that. And they would have sent me two or three spares. And I right. would have had them by the end of the week.
Yep.
You know, I finally made up my mind that I'm going to give them a call tomorrow and see what they say about rebuilding this Vaquero. But I have a feeling they're going to say, here's a shipping label. You'll have it back by the end of the week.
That would be nice.
Or yeah, you know, up here in Alaska, mail's a little slow, maybe 2 weeks, but I have a feeling they'll just...
You ought to tell them to blew the frame instead of case hardening it. Just blew the whole damn gun.
Yeah, just blew the whole gun or whatever. Yeah, I'm not... I was thinking about sending Bobby Tyler for real case coloring, but I just can't afford it right now. And I want to get it back to where it looks nice. It looks so bad right now.
Yeah, but, you know... It's kind of funny. I've gone full circle. I'm a Smith & Wesson K-frame and in-frame guy. Shot Smiths forever. And I caught the Blackhawk bug. You know, my first Magnum was a 6.5-inch 357 Magnum Blackhawk. And it was right after the flat top era. That gun was made in... Well, because it had a transfer bar in it. I remember running the serial number on it. It was like 74 or 75. It was right after they went to the transfer bar. That gun was so nice.
They went to the transfer bar right around the time of the Centennial models.
Right.
And I'm not sure. I think it was. It was like 70, 74, I think, when they went to the transfer. I'd have to do a little research on it, but... Yeah, Ruger makes a really good revolver. While we're on the subjects of revolvers, though, I need to bring up a topic here real quick. Last week, we had a listener ask us about the John Wayne pistol and if we wanted to make a copy of that.
I totally screwed that price up.
So we both said that that Cimarron made the copy of that, the 4 3/4-inch barrel. With the vintage grips and all that, and we told them they could be. I think we said that they could be had for I believe we said that they could have them for around $600. Nick, what was the actual price on that gun?
Shit, it was like what, $780 or $790.
I just had it pulled up. The Sportsman's Warehouse. I go with Sportsman's Warehouse pricing a lot because they're all over the country and they have their website. The Cimarron Rooster Shooter at Sportsman's Warehouse is $799.
Woo!
So we were
just buy a Ruger.
Yeah, we were a little bit off on that price.
You can get a brand new model Vaquero here in Nashville for $675. Just buy the Ruger.
Yeah. The Ruger Vaquero, I think, was like $629.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see here. I'm waiting for the load. Here we go. Ruger Sportsman's Warehouse. $729 for the Ruger Vaquero. That's in the that is the stainless one. And then I screwed up the price. I told them if we were going to build that on a Ruger, I mentioned getting why can't I think of the name of it now? But the fake ivory grips. What's the company that does all those?
Oh, the NC Ordnance.
No, there's Magnetusk.
Magnetusk.
Yeah. The Magnetusk, the grips, they are a bit more than what I said they were. I said they were around $50. They were actually closer to $100 if you wanted to get their John Wayne with the finger grooves and all that. But yeah, for $799, I would totally get a 4 5/8-inch stainless Ruger Vaquero and be happy with. I think the Ruger is probably a better gun than that Cimarron is anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
I had, yeah, those things have gone way up in price since the last time I saw one. I thought they were like right around between $500 and $600. I didn't know they were that expensive. So I have to apologize for giving false information on the show last week.
Yeah, it happens.
So Nick, here's another subject. I'm calling you out. What's where are we sitting at on your reloading journey?
I have a press out in the garage. I have a manual. I have powder and stuff left over from my previous marriage. I need to dig it all out of my boxes. And I have started to build a workbench and table in the garage.
Okay. So a while back, Nick and I made a deal. I told him that he was not reloading by the end of the year, because we've been talking about this as long as I've known him, that I was going to disown him and we would no longer be friends. So we need to really work on this, Nick. At that end of the year, I mean, it's only February, but it's coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not end of the year. I mean, I'm going to be full speed ahead by, end of spring, early summer.
So here's where I'm calling you out on right now. What cartridge are we going to reload for first? What are you going to set up for?
45 auto and then 45 Colt following that. I think that's an easy, good way to start, because with a single action revolver shooting 45 auto, I can place all my brass. It's a little more efficient because it's a smaller case, so I can a lot of different bullets. I mean, with 45 auto, I have a lot of budget options to where I can load a lot of it for very cheap, and it's easy to make.
So 45 auto, that's a good answer. So here's what we need to do. We need to go grab that reloading manual that you got. You got the Lyman 50th edition, I think, and I've got that same one. We need to pick a powder. I'm going to tell you, you're using this powder, and we need to get you some bullets ordered, because I'm going to tell you what I think you should use for a bullet. I talk about those guys a lot over at Gallant Bullets.
Right.
That's probably about the best deal you're going to find on 45 ACP bullets. That's here. Let's go to their website.
See if they offer one of those match style semi wad cutters. I really love that style of bullet in a 45 auto.
They do. They offer a 200 grain semi wad cutter for the 45 ACP, and I have shot a bunch of their 200 grain semi wad cutter out of the 45 ACP. When I was shooting USPSA, that was my go-to bullet. And then they offer a 40. Yep, so they have those. Here's the thing with Gallant bullets. This is what I've been reloading their 44 mag bullets lately. If you order 1,000 of them, you get free shipping. It's a coated bullet. So it's going to load a little bit nicer than it's a traditional lead bullet. Not quite as nice and easy as a jacketed bullet, but there's a little, but as long as you bell your cases enough and don't crimp and seat in the same step, you will be fine. So here's what they offer. 45, we got a 200 grain semi wad cutter from $11 per 100. We have a 200 grain round nose flat point. We have a 200 grain round nose. We have a 230 grain round nose. And we have a 250 grain flat nose 45 Colt bullet. So, yeah, if that was you, I would order, let's see here, the 200 grain semi wad cutter. That is my favorite 45 ACP bullet I have shot.
And it's versatile. It's not just a target load. If you push that thing about 1,000 foot per second out of a Blackhawk, you take whitetail deer with that. It's a very well designed bullet. Even anti personnel, it works for everything.
Yep, they offer it in gold or black or bronze or black coloring. 500 of those is $54. I'd order you a 500 box of those, and I would order you a 500 round piece box of their 250 grain flat nose, so you can take advantage of their free shipping on orders of 1,000 or more. That is $60 for 500, which is really a good price.
That's a great price.
Especially with the free shipping. I have I've been shooting their 240 grain. I have pushed their bullets to 1,500 foot per second out of my 10-inch contender with very minimal letting. I don't usually push them that hard, but they can take it. 45 Colt, 45 ACP. Yeah, all day long. So I'd order 1,000 of their bullets. I'd order 500 of that 200 grain semi wad cutter because that is a great 45 ACP bullet. I'm gonna order 500 of this 250 grain because that will work. If you want to try to duplicate my heavy outdoorsman 45 ACP load, like the buffalo bore load, that bullet will work for that, and it will work in the 45 Colt. Although that 200 grain semi wad cutter would probably work really good in the 45 Colt as well. It's just gonna look a little funny.
Right.
So
yeah, I think that's a plan.
Yeah, so I would. That's if I was gonna recommend you to use a bullet, that's what I would buy. And then, man, I don't have that reloading manual here, but I would tell you to go get a. I'd probably tell you to start with unique powder, because you can use that in both of those cartridges.
Right, right.
Or something of that burn rate, very close to the unique and the burn rate.
Use probably CCI large pistol primers.
Yeah, the CCI large pistol primers are good. They're a little bit more expensive. I've been using Winchesters lately just because they're a little bit cheaper than the CCIs are. But the CCI is my personal favorite. I'd get the number 300 large pistol primers. You don't need magnums with a small charge of unique. And 45 Colt, 45 ACP. If you start pushing the heavy ball powders like H110, a magnum primer is much better. But at that point, you're talking about a complete different territory anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of why I also picked the Blackhawk, because, you know, I just, if I want to surpass a 44 Magnum, all I got to do is put a 340 grain plus P Buffalo bore or a Garrett hammerhead or whatever in the chambers of the 45 Colt cylinder, and I immediately have, you know, a huge jump over a 44 Magnum right out of the box.
Well, and one thing about the 45 ACP and 45 Colt convertibles, like I was saying earlier, is the loads are so close to each other using factory ammo. The sights normally don't need adjusted unless if you're shooting just 45 ball and you're shooting regular 45 Colt factory loads, your sights generally are so close that it's going to be a non-issue.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But yeah, I mean, I think we need to make a disclaimer here real quick. I've had a couple comments. This show is not sponsored by anybody. Nick and I talk about Gallant Bullets, or I talk about Gallant Bullets. We talk about Simply Rugged Leather. We talk about Clear Creek Custom Grips. We talk about a couple of others, you know, small companies that we do business with. This is all places that we just do business with, and we really like their product. We're just, you know, this is a say, I'm really happy with this product. We'll give them a shout out. We are not sponsored by any of these people to talk about their stuff. This is just stuff, hey, we've been using this, and it works good.
Right, and, you know, this is stuff I spend my own money on. You know, all the Rugers I buy with my regular paycheck. I'm an auto mechanic Monday through Friday. I work for a living. I got to save up my money. I go and I do okay, but you know, I'll go buy that Ruger. The only leather I buy is Simply Rugged, you know, Rob Lay. In my opinion, Rob, the two leather makers, the only two leather makers I will buy from is, Mike Doc Bronte over at Bronte Leather Company and, Rob at Simply Rugged, you know, and they're both different flavors, you know, for more of the traditional Western stuff. They both do both of it, but you know, I like to own a little of both. But yeah. Rob's a great guy, a good friend of mine, and makes a great product at a great price point. I think that the sourdough pancake is about the best value for money money can buy as far as a good leather holster that does everything. And but yeah, we're not sponsored by anyone. No one's giving us free stuff or giving us sponsorship money. This is all stuff we buy with our own money. So that's why we like this stuff. We don't buy junk. We only buy good stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'm not, you know, if I'm not, a brand whore, you know, I'll use whatever works. If I, you know, maybe I buy Gallant bullets most of the time, but if I see a good sale on Missouri River bullets or something else, I'm not going to shy away from those because they're good bullets too. But I shoot mostly gallant bolts. Why? Because they have a great product, they have a great price, and I've known the guys over there, Robert and Eli, for a long, you know, for a fair amount of time now, and they're really good guys to do business with. Same thing with Simply Rugged Holsters. If I find a holster I like somewhere else, I'm gonna buy it. But if I need a holster, Rob's going to be the first guy I go to. Why? Because I've known Rob for quite a while. We've become pretty good friends. He's got a great product at a great price. You know, Clear Creek, David Alsup at Clear Creek Custom Grips. If I see a set of Stags I like somewhere else, I'm going to buy them. But if I need a set, David's going to be the first guy I go to. Why? Because I've bought 3 or 4 sets of his grips, and every set has been fantastic, and he's about $50 to $100 cheaper than anybody else.
Yep.
And he's a really good guy to do business with. He might be a little slow because he hand makes everything to order. He doesn't just have a stock of stuff ready to go, but he's a really good guy to do business with. All these companies that we're promoting here on the show are just because Nick and I have personal experience. You know, I couldn't tell you how many thousands of gallons bullets I've shot. They're 200 grain semi wad cutter 45s. They're 147 grain 9mm flat points. When I was shooting USPSA, I shot those things by the brick, and they do. They offer them in case quantities, you know, however many they can fit in a 60-pound shipping box. They offer them in quantities, and they got some really good discount prices if you buy and shoot that many at a time. And then they also give you a discount, like if you know, hey, I'm a competitive shooter and I shoot, you know, 4,000 bullets a month, you can set up for them to automatically send you $4,000 a month, and I think you can save like 10% doing that.
Yeah, that's nice. And, you know, it's more than business. I mean, these are friendships we're building with these people. You know, I like to know that I am helping a fellow friend by, you know, I'm an auto mechanic. So, you know, me building relationships and building trust with customers, you know, they bring me their stuff, and they are paying me. They are how I make a living. So it's the same thing with all our friends. You know, we're helping them make a living. So that's something you should do, whether it's with guns, cars, or you're a carpenter or whatever. You know, help your friends that are in these industries. You know, there's a lot of big companies out there that put out, you know, mass produced stuff. And if you don't buy their product, it probably won't hurt them. So, you know, try to buy something handmade by someone who actually cares, and help them put bread on the table.
You know, it's just like I could go to. Oh, what's one of the big leather company? You know, I could go to Williams Gunsight. I could go to Williams Gunsight Company and order a rear sight for a Marlin 336 and put it on the gun, put a picture on Instagram, and that's the end of it. I could buy a sight from Andy Larson at Skinner Sights, and I put that on my Marlin 44 mag, and I post a picture of it on Facebook. Hey, check out this sight, and I'm going to get some comments like, "Hey, cool, that sight looks really good. You know, thanks for buying from me."
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, Nick, we're at just over an hour here. It's amazing how time flies and we're having fun.
I'm telling you.
So, there's one more thing that we need to mention. What do you think that is? Come on, think a little bit. You know this one.
I can't think of it.
Come on, Nick. This is all on you. This is your deal, buddy.
Is it a gun?
No, I'm going to let you give a shameless plug. What did you start this week?
What did I start this week? Oh, yeah. So I have started a new Facebook group called Thumb Busters. And I did it pretty much as just an idea to maybe have 30 or 40 guys. You know, because I wanted a place where people could just do single actions, you know, good old fucking smoke wagons. And, you know, I just kind of put it up there and I'm like, you know, 30, 40 guys, whatever. And now we're at over 180 members in less than 48 hours. It's huge. Everybody's having a good time. It's all positive. You know, I only made 2 rules for the group. If you join the group, you'll see the 2 rules. You know, we don't do politics. And there's no shaming. Like, if a guy posts his $100 Rough Rider on there, you know, you're not going to make fun of him. And I don't really care what financial background you come from. It's all about just whatever you got, run what you brung. But it's turned out to be a good group. And I tell you, there's a lot of really good steel on there.
There's a lot of good guys on that group too. We got a lot of good guys that joined up on that group.
I was like kind of shocked when I started seeing the names, you know, when you start recognizing the names, it's like, oh my gosh, like, wow. I was impressed. I'm very proud of it. And I think that the group will be good. I'm going to do a little bit of gun writing for it and stuff like that. But I was so shocked at how many members I got so quickly. And I gotta thank you for that. You really hooked me up on a lot of them. So it turned out really good.
Yeah. I've made comments to Rob before. He always posts pictures of that Model 29 that he had Bobby Tyler engraved for him.
Right.
And I told him, man, you've got to stop posting pictures of that gun. It's leading me into temptation. You know, I want it. And we joke back and forth, but I tell you what, Jeff Quinn's the guy I'm hating on this week, man. He has posted some nice guns on that group.
Yeah. And he hit my soft spot when he posted a picture of Hannah. And for you guys that don't know who Jeff Quinn is, Jeff Quinn has a YouTube channel and a website, gunblast.com. The Quinns are wonderful people. Jeff is a great guy, a great man. He's someone you could really look up to and try to be like. He's a really good person.
Yeah, I'm glad to see his
favorite gun he owns. It's a 1905 production Colt Bisley and 38 WCF, and it's got stags on it and just the patina. It's just such a gorgeous gun. There's a lot of pretty guns out there, but that one right there really moves my heart when I see it. So when he posted that was the first gun he posted on the group. I was honored and, of course, very jealous. I love that gun. It's fabulous.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Jeff's health doing a little better for him lately. He was having a pretty rough spell there for a while.
Yeah, I hope he's with us for a good long time. Jeff is, in my opinion, invaluable to the industry. He is one of the few really good ones.
Here's the thing I like about Jeff. You know, the guy's maxed out on friends on Facebook. You know, he's on just about every gun group that you can come up with on Facebook. But when he posts a picture on a group or on his personal page or anywhere else, he will answer nearly every single comment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've messaged him on Facebook when I've been looking at something I want to buy and asked him straight up, hey, what do you think about this versus this? And he will take time out of his day, and I don't mean like short answers. I mean, he will type pages and tell me exactly, you know, how to go about that decision. He never too busy, never.
You know, when I was first, like, I'm still just getting my foot in the door with gun writing. But when I was very first, like the very first time I ever published an article online, Jeff was, he was right there. You know, he sent me messages on Facebook, but comments on Facebook. Like, you know, if there's anything I can, you know, he offered to help me out in a couple different ways. I turned him down just because I didn't feel I'd be able to hold up the end of the deal. But he is a great guy, and he has some nice guns. I hate him a little bit sometimes to see some of the nice guns he has.
Yeah, and him and I both have the affliction for RC Cola. We love it. But
you know, I like RC Cola, but you know how hard it is to find RC Cola here in Alaska?
Nah, that's a sin right there. They need to fix that.
You know, I prefer Coca-Cola over Pepsi, but up here everything's Pepsi, 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 Pepsi. I'll tell you what, if you ever come up here and you spend any time in the villages, I'll tell you a real quick story. When we were up working in Kivalina last winter, Kivalina is about 70 or 80 miles north of Kotzebue. Completely, the only way in and out of the village is snow. You can snow machine to Kotzebue in the winter if you want to bear the trip, but pretty much the only way in and out is air. And we were up there building a new road out to where they're going to build a new school at in a couple of years. And we couldn't, you know, we're up there. It takes weeks to get mail. It takes weeks to get parts. And every day they got these little planes coming in, and there'll be people coming in and out of the village, and they always bring in some mail and cargo with them. So we were waiting for some parts and some tires one time, and this big old Boeing C-130 comes bombing in there, lands on that little tiny airstrip. And I kid you not, that Boeing, that freaking C-130 was loaded front to back with pallets of soda pop, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, and Orange Crush. That complete airplane, the C-130 loaded to the nuts with soda pop.
Wow.
No, but not a single bottle of Royal Crown.
Well, that's your mistake.
Yeah. But anyway, Nick, we probably gotta start thinking about wrapping this one up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, it's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. But you know, next week we really need this show is supposed to kind of be a general gun show. And we always end up talking about revolvers. I think next week we need to talk about some rifles a little bit, whether we talk about the small bore, like 22-50s, 25-06s, whatever, or we talk about the big guys, 40. Yeah, we can talk about the 458 Win Mag I got here a little bit. I've actually been shooting that, I've got that 16-inch Contender 44 or that 45-70. I've been playing with it a little bit lately. And I'm actually thinking about, I just got my residency. I'm finally an Alaska resident again. I got my hunting license. Everything is golden and beautiful. And as soon as the snow melts in the spring, whenever Mother Nature decides to warm up, I am seriously considering doing a bear bait station this spring. And I think I'm either going to use that Contender in 45-70, or I'm going to use my Red Hawk 44 mag and try to take a black bear here in the spring.
That'd be nice.
But it just have to wait and see. But yeah, I've been playing. I've got a couple hundred of the, I think they're Missouri River bullets, like a 400 grain semi-pointed with a little bit of a flat on the top. They designed it for their 458 SOCOM, and a friend of mine bought them all and they didn't work for him. So I got a really good deal on them. So I've been playing with those in the 44 mag. I shot them a little bit in the 458, but I just couldn't push them as hard as I really wanted to without a gas check on them. But they seem to be working okay in the 45-70. But anyway, guys, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Our listener, I think the last time I checked, we were up to like 200 listeners or something like that, which is honestly more than I ever expected we'd get on here. I figured we'd have two or three, friends of each of ours that would listen to it. But yeah, we're up to like 200 listens or something like that. It's humbling to me that you guys take the time out of your day to sit here and listen to Nick and I BS back and forth about some of our hobbies. So I appreciate everybody's time, and we will see you next week.